This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I don't know who you are, but I do know what you need. I can tell you, I know some gentlemen with a very particular set of skills. Skills they have attained over a long career of studying tape and statistics. Skills they want to share to make you a nightmare for the rest of your league. Head over to www.ultimatedraftkit.com and order it right now. You will be prepared for your draft. Your league will be frightened of you. And you will kill them.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourself, because it's football time for real! Yeah. Not kind of.
Well, I mean, actually kind of.
Well, it's still way better than the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, you said for real.
Yes.
It doesn't count. I see
it's
what you're
real
saying.
Real fake?
Yeah, okay. This is, man, now we're getting deep.
You realize we play fantasy football. Nothing we do is real. Nothing matters.
But the games tonight don't go towards our fantasy football points unless you could play DFS on this. So then it's real.
Yeah, y'all in on the first quarter Matt Ryan DFS?
No. You don't go with the first quarter guys. You got to go with the athletic backups.
Yeah.
It is football time. I'm sorry to disrupt.
Well, it's all
you
right.
know, I just don't want this football time to somehow mean as much as the football time that is coming.
Well, it will not.
Yeah, because those ones will count. But welcome into the show. Thursday, August 11th, Andy, Mike, and Jason, the Fantasy Footballers, back with you. Preseason football is here. Brooks, thoughts on preseason football?
It's garbage.
All right. Well, that's a buzzkill.
See, that's absolute nonsense, because this is where real fantasy football stuff is happening.
Is it, though?
What?
I mean, yes. It's garbage. Oh. I'm with Brooks. It's garbage.
Mike and I are together against you two.
Yeah, it's fun. You get to see some players for the first time. You get to see the movers and the shakers. You get to make your own judgments on, like, Isaiah Pacheco. Is this real? Like, can he actually
Spoiler alert, no.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Well,
all right.
We will see.
I guess it gets us closer to the real season. So
thank you, Brooks.
That's cool.
Way to glass half
Sounds
fuller.
Like we won.
Goodness gracious.
Al, is this true?
It is.
What? Did this just come through the breaking news? We're starting the show.
Breaking news.
Go ahead, Al. I'm going to let you be the source on this one.
James White has announced his retirement.
Really?
Yeah. James
yeah, he
White.
Did from his verified Twitter account.
So the end of the career for James White. And
dang,
there was talk yesterday about Damian Harris being rumored in the team moving on from him.
I don't think that's as likely.
Maybe not, but at the same time, I know the confidence in Ramondre Stevenson has grown.
Certainly.
So interesting. James White, heck of a career. But saying goodbye.
Yeah, I mean, he won that Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Like the big comeback, he was the one who had that.
Did he play with Tom Brady ever?
Well, I'm just saying, like, he was the one who scored the game-winning touchdown, if I recall.
Best Super Bowl PPR performance in history.
Yep, there it was.
37.5 points.
Yeah. I think for this year, for
the Falcons were a big part of that Super Bowl, right?
They weren't a big part at the end. They didn't do much.
All right. They weren't there for the fourth.
Brutal.
Go ahead, Jason.
For fantasy football, I don't think this really changes much of anything. I assume that you guys had the same view on James White that I had, which was that he was going to start on the PUP, probably miss the first half of the season. And so when that's happening for a pass-catching kind of backup running back who hasn't been involved in years, he hasn't really factored into my rankings or anything. So I won't be changing anything going forward. I will say this, though, since we're on the Patriots, since we're on how this could possibly affect them, you know, I've talked up my belief in Mac as a good quarterback, but the drumbeat from the beat reporters has been universally pessimistic over the last 2 weeks. They can't run the ball. They're installing a completely new running scheme for some reason. They were very good at running the ball, and they're like, let's try to do it different. They've failed every practice at doing that. They haven't been able to move the ball, and we can't forget that they are going from what appears to be a good offensive mind. Josh McDaniels has moved on, and now you have a combination of Matt Patricia.
You have Gimli now.
And Joe Judge
running
this offense.
And Bill Belichick.
Sure, yeah.
Having his say. I mean, it seems like we are most often willing to be optimistic about a Josh McDaniels, Brian Daboll leaving, going somewhere else, making a big positive impact, whereas a lot of the times when someone departs, it's easier to dismiss that and say, well, they've ran the system, they have somebody that understands it, and you know, maybe that's not always going to be the case, right? Like, these guys get paid a lot of money to do what they do, and their absence is going to be felt. So it wasn't an offense for fantasy football in New England that you had a particular amount of confidence in any one player. The tight end room has two players that are going to be involved. You have a wide receiver room that have, you know, Jacoby Myers, Tyquan Thornton, Devontae Parker,
Kendrick Bourne.
I mean, there are a lot of names, and then Mac Jones is still a young quarterback. And so if you're thinking about taking a chance on somebody, maybe this is a little bit more cold water on top of it, but.
And the last name I'll throw out here is Pierre Strong, running back that the Patriots drafted, who, like, just profile-wise, he fits what James White. He looked like he could be that type of a player. So, I don't know where he was going in dynasty drafts. I mean, not in rookie drafts, I should say. Not very high. Like, there is a chance that he's just chilling on a waiver wire. It's possible.
Yeah, and so the backfield, Damien Harris, Ramondre Stevenson, the guys of note right now, but that's a good dynasty name to monitor, Mike. UltimateDraftKit.com.
Yeah.
If you go over there, you will get access to everything you need for draft day, including sleepers, breakouts, busts, values, player projections updated daily. We've got player videos, lots of them. And you can check out everything else that's included at UltimateDraftKit.com. Let's jump into a quick question.
Hello, everybody. I am back.
Bounce back players for 2022. Generally values, if you can get them right. But do you have a name that you want to bring up here for bounce back?
I 2022. I do. I'm going to kick it off with Michael Thomas. Thomas.
Oh, no.
Now, I realize it has been a long time. It's been 84 years since he's scored a touchdown, since he's been right on the field. He doesn't have Drew Brees, yada, yada, yada. The reality, though, is that he is back. He is on their practice field. He is doing good things. Nick Underhill has reported that he's basically looking like the same Michael Thomas that he used to, and that he's starting to command more and more targets. You know, a while ago it looked like Olave was the target leader in camp. Now Michael Thomas is starting to reestablish himself, and I think that he is not necessarily a bounce back to, I mean, obviously he was the wide receiver one in 2019. I'm not saying he's bouncing back to that. He doesn't have Drew Brees. He doesn't have Sean Payton. But I think he is not washed. He's dealt with injuries. He is now back from injuries. They took a long time. you know, he's 29 years old. He's the same age as Devontae Adams and DeAndre Hopkins. And, you know, if those guys are great and drafted so high, I think that Michael Thomas is a discount for where he's going. And I think he's going to be fine. I really do. I've got him leading the New Orleans Saints receivers, and I think he's got as good a chance as anyone out there to be a solid wide receiver too, at least for fantasy. And that's a guy that you're drafting, you know, in the seventh round.
Yeah, the draft cost makes me not push back very much, but, you know, it will be a big difference going from 74% Drew Brees to 62-63% Jameis Winston. And I've read a lot of positive things beyond Olave about Jarvis Landry's camp. And so, you know, is Michael Thomas going to be 30% target share? Is the passing volume going to match? I mean, those would be arguments against him being what he was, but that doesn't mean he's not what you say he will be, which is a top 24 value. Mike, do you have a bounce back candidate for 2022?
Yeah, I want to give some love to Lamar Jackson. It feels like he is kind of, you know, just like
just there.
He's he feels like he is there. And looking at the ADP, he's going in about the, you know, the fifth round, which is the same round that Joe Burrow is going in. And I, you know, I've made my case against Joe Burrow. Certainly could be wrong, but like looking at Joe Burrow last year, he didn't have any 30-point games until the very end of the year, which he had a few really huge games in the playoffs that won people championships. And what has to happen for Joe Burrow's draft price is the projection of they are going to throw more. They're going to speed up the Bengals' offense. Those things have to happen. Meanwhile, Lamar Jackson this past year in a limited amount of games, he already had three games over that threshold, and it wasn't as consistent as you would hope for when you're spending up for Lamar Jackson, but he was more of a, you know, like a third round type of a pick, maybe even in the second in a lot of home leagues, and now he's dropped into the fifth. That rushing ability is still there. He was over 760 rushing yards in essentially 11 games. Like, the offense is still him. If J.K. Dobbins is actually back, the offense will be even higher powered. You know, they couldn't really do what they want to do, which is an establish it when you have these old crusty veterans out there just plodding along. So Lamar Jackson in the fifth round is someone who still, to me, has the ceiling of being a top three quarterback.
I will agree with you.
Oh, well, all right then.
Since that's what everyone's waiting for. No, I mean, I think Lamar has a chip on his shoulder. I think he has something to prove this year, and I think he's going to remind fantasy players to keep his name in their mouths. Let's put it that way. I will go with Robert Woods, and I want to kind of narrow the focus to point-per-reception leagues. So full point-per-reception leagues. I think Robert Woods is going to, you know, he's 30 years old. And when I think of a kind of a comparison for what Robert Woods can provide right now, I think of, you know, later career Emmanuel Sanders and having, you know, it took a long time for Emmanuel Sanders' skill to diminish. It was really the end of last year, and he's 35 years old now. So I think you see 80 receptions, around 1,000 yards, and a lot of PPR value and consistency from who I think will be their first down wide receiver in Tennessee, Robert Woods. It will take time. Treylon Burks has more game-breaking ability, touchdown, size and speed. But Robert Woods is going to be the beneficiary of a lot of play action, a lot of important plays for Ryan Tannehill. And every report from camp, you know, from the beginning to now,
it's wild,
is that he is fully recovered and healthy, and they're one. You know, right now we don't have Treylon Burks running out with the ones. So especially in the beginning of the year, I think he's a steal, somebody that you could put into your lineup and get value. So let me just do the yes-no game on some more bounce back guys.
Okay.
You ready?
Sure.
Darren Waller.
I will say no if we're talking about to superstar status.
Yes on Waller.
Matt Ryan.
Yes.
Yes to relevance.
Fantasy relevance?
Yeah, it's in like streaming, and where like at the end of the year, Matt Ryan finishing as the quarterback 12 or 13 to me won't be surprising.
Allen Robinson.
Definitely.
Yeah, and they were all on board now with Robinson.
Miles Sanders.
I will say no. I don't believe he bounces back.
If he, I mean, I don't even know what bounce back means with Miles Sanders.
That's true. I think he'll stay he's always been, which is fine.
Kenny Golladay.
No.
Nope.
No hope for Golladay. All that money and I mean, look, you know, he's obviously the one.
Absolute. I don't know if he's the one.
Well, he is.
I don't know. I know, like, financially,
by plan, by form of plan to start the year. I mean, we it's not in the news, and we haven't gotten into the news yet, but the Wandale Robinson information, let's put that out there, because Wandale is established as the slot wide receiver in New York. Anything positive you think about Brian Daboll and what he's going to do in this offense, this was a guy that this regime drafted. They put him in the starting lineup right away, and rookie wide receivers, with those opportunities, they just plain outperform the draft value.
Yep. Yeah. Go ahead.
I mean, it's nice because their camp has solidified their pecking order. You know, you've got Kadarius Toney and Kenny Golladay as the one and two, and you've got Wandale as the three in the slot. I mean, that it's nice to just – because there were so many people there, and it's like, how is this going to play out? And it is clear as day. But, I still don't know. You know, the one and two, Kenny Golladay will be the X, but I don't think he'll necessarily be the number one target. I think that's Toney.
Okay.
Kenny G.
There are, I tweeted something about a week ago that there are a handful of players in the NFL that aren't being drafted in any capacity but seem to exist just to take value out of the guys that are being talked about.
Sure.
I think Kenny Golladay falls into that category for the Wandale and the Kadarius Toney hype. But the other names are like Marvin Jones was being undrafted and impacting Christian Kirk. Corey Davis, who was on pace for over 1,000 yards last year, impacting Garrett Wilson's ascension, at least at the beginning of the year. Mecole Hardman, still around, still very fast, but could impact MVS having value. Nelson Aguilar, camp reports from him, it was more about like, too many bodies, right? Like, too many bodies in New England's camp. Jalen Guyton, you know, hurting Josh Palmer and his opportunities from time to time.
I would like the Chicago Bears to send a 7th-round pick for Nelson Aguilar.
Sure.
I think the Patriots would take it, and the Chicago Bears desperately need that.
Yeah.
Let's make that happen,
I
Chicago.
I mean, have you guys read what Bill Belichick said about Nelson Aguilar?
Like, I have
at least.
Not.
I don't know if it's saving the signing, but
can I guess?
Yeah.
Did he say he costs a lot of money? he's got a cap at a 14.
Yes, his
million.
Quote was he's having one of the most expensive camps we've seen.
Yes, exactly. Nelson Aguilar sure costs a lot.
He's dropping jewelry all over the field.
$14.8 million this year.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard everything from potential trade candidate to having a great camp. So it's just. There are players that exist to, and again, I'm not taking anything away from them. They have an NFL skill set that is valuable to their team. So I'm not saying that I dislike them as players. I'm saying they are being disliked in the fantasy community by not being drafted. I think this guy could fall into that role, but DJ Chark, do you believe in the bounce back potential of DJ Chark?
Versus ADP, 100%.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a relevant fantasy option for at least the first half of the year.
And then Kareem Hunt. Do you think back for Kareem Hunt, or is this the departure of Kareem Hunt, the working out of the system?
Nope, it's a bounce back. He's got
on the Cleveland Browns?
Yes, on the Cleveland Browns for sure.
All right, any other names that you guys have thought about lately?
Oh, no.
No, we haven't really been considering.
What if we throw out the name Curtis Samuel? Bounce back, or
that's not a name I've heard in some time.
I'll vote no.
I'll vote no too.
What happened to that guy's groin?
Like, he was the same free agent class as Kenny Golladay, right?
Yeah, it was last year.
So those players feel like their free agent signing was the deletion of them from fantasy football. That's what it feels like.
Goodness.
And Will Fuller.
But it's like, I mean, Curtis Samuel, they're talking about he's still banged up. Like, what is going on, man?
One more bounce back.
Yeah. Okay.
This one I believe in. Julio Jones.
Okay. You're rising?
I am.
You're rising on Julio in Tampa Bay?
I am rising on Julio in Tampa Bay with Brady.
Okay. All right. Is it? Well, I don't know. Yeah. I'm not willing to say that out loud because it's not going
to
happen.
You willing to whisper?
That's
it?
Why. Let's talk news because there is some news about that wide receiver room.
News and notes from around the league.
Because Russell Gage, it is a hamstring strain.
Oh,
yoo-hoo.
It is considered minor, at least as Ian Rappaport has reported.
Okay, okay.
So I don't know if it's a yoo-hoo.
Yeah.
Instead of a...
It's a baritone?
Yeah. I can't... I was going to say instead of a, and then I was going to do the real one.
Mm-hmm. But your voice won't allow
it. I can't do it.
Yoo-hoo! So you've got Russell Gage and Mike Evans both dealing with minor hamstring issues. And right now is a good time to have that, if there is such a thing, because Tom Brady is excused from practice for some undisclosed personal reason.
Salad bar.
He's like, oh, dude, the salad bar is all you can eat. I got to go. And the team completely understands because he's the plant man.
He's going to miss some time, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's an extended period.
Oh, I hadn't heard this.
Yeah.
At least a few days.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right. He's like, wait, my wide receivers have hamstring problems. I'm not coming in.
Yesterday we talked about the running back rankings. Mentioned Javonte Williams. Broncos running back Melvin Gordon was held out due to a foot injury yesterday. The team says they are managing it.
Okay.
But this is one of those built-in realities for Javonte Williams, where if something is even if it just goes a little bit sideways, you know, the world is Javonte's oyster.
Honest question. Just like James White did, Melvin Gordon comes out tomorrow, says, I'm retiring. I don't like this. I don't want to deal with this foot problem. Where are you drafting Javonte if that happens?
Four.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
The middle of the first round.
Four or five at running back.
Yeah, right there. I mean,
Jason, would you draft him ahead of your two wideouts that you like?
I don't think so. So I think it'll probably be five for me. But five for me means he's the running back three.
I wouldn't be drafting him over Derrick Henry.
Yeah,
that's the spot where I don't think I would make that swap. But I get it.
I totally understand that. I mean, we talked through this about the fears of Derrick Henry. If he's healthy and he makes it 17 games, he's going to be awesome. But I would go with the youth.
And we have been here in our rankings. Like he was four. Before the re-signing of right. Melvin Gordon. Yeah, yeah. But, yes, I mean, this is kind of like what the reality was for Kareem Hunt. If Nick Chubb goes down, like, there are situations where just a small tweak, missing a game or two. I talked about it working out for Javonte. Part of that is the odds are so stacked against Melvin Gordon remaining heavily involved all year long because one ankle injury and one three-touchdown game from Javonte – and the pendulum swings. Like, you have to have a perfect season as a veteran, Melvin Gordon, on what, another one-year deal?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, I mean, this is not the future of the team. Devontae Smith has missed the last five practices with a groin strain.
My groin!
And
also, groinindex.com, if you're
oh
new,
boy.
If
oh
you're
boy.
New to the show, it's a great resource for all information about groin injuries. So groinindex.com will really bring your information to the forefront.
Yeah, because, I mean, sometimes you're looking at all the injuries, but you really want to narrow the scope to mm-hmm. just groins.
Mm-hmm. Groinindex.com.
But you mentioned A.J. Brown getting every target known to man in camp. Does that have anything to do with five practices being missed by Devontae Smith?
Yes. Yes, it does. I mean, it is clear, though, that if Devontae Smith is out, I saw someone say, again, this was like, last night that they think A.J. Brown might get 200 targets. Hyperbole, but that's what's happening right now while Devonta Smith is out.
If he gets back, maybe it's 185, 186.
Maybe 187.
Oh,
come on.
Murder, death, kill. It's a
Demolition Man joke.
Demolition Man joke for all 12 of you.
You remember Demolition Man with Wesley Snipes?
So good. The three shells. Okay, let's go to Taco Bell after the show and move on.
Me and Jake can do a whole podcast on Demolition Man.
It's so good.
And you're free to, just not this one. Cortland Sutton returned to practice.
Taco Bell later, Jay?
Yeah, well, I already made the joke.
Yeah. Cortland Sutton returned to practice on Wednesday, Mike. Did you? Big exhale?
Yes. Yes.
N'Keal Harry surgery. Forget about him.
Yeah.
Any other news this morning? Any other retirements, Al? Are you maybe considering it? Maybe, hopefully?
Not a chance.
Okay. Retirement will be coming.
I'm hearing rumors on a very popular podcast that the Bears are going to trade a 7th-round pick for Nelson Agholor.
Ooh.
You're hearing rumors on Source is a popular Demolition Man podcast. All right, quick break, and we'll be back with some questions.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app. And replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up, and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers. One of the possible names of the show is just going to be the 1990s talk fantasy football. I mean, that was going to be part of, that was one of the names. All right. Since we have covered camp news, we've covered groinindex.com. We've talked about bounce back candidates. Why not a mailbag drop?
Mailbag.
Mailbag.
Yeah.
Since we're so athletic.
Yeah.
Which is how I like to start the sentences around here. But since we're so athletic, if one of us in studio here suffers a groin injury, which Jason, I mean, he may do that sitting. Do we show up?
I won't do it any other way.
Do we show up on groinindex.com?
We really should. Yeah, plug us into the API there. Okay.
All right. Into the mailbag we go. If you have a question for the show, you can go to the website, thefantasyfootballers.com, which has been recently updated, by the way. Got a new homepage.
Got a fresh face.
Yeah. You can go there, click the submit a question button. You can dial the voicemail hotline 302-464-TFFB. Let's kick it off with, we got a voicemail, don't we?
What's going on, ballers? It's AG from Daytona Beach. I love the show. I feel like we could be friends in real life. My question to you is, I went wide receiver heavy in my latest redraft league, and I want to know how confident you are and Saquon Barkley being my RB1. All right, take care, guys.
All right, so Saquon as your RB1, if you went wide receiver heavy.
I could live with it.
Yeah.
If I'm wide receiver heavy, which is not what I'm doing this year, but if that's the way the cookie crumbles, Saquon and Elijah Mitchell as my running backs are the place I'd try to find myself in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people play zero RB and stack their wide receivers and grab a great tight end or a great quarterback along the way and end up with, you know, hopeful running backs that can catch the ball a few times. Saquon is fine for your running back one if the rest of your team is strong. I mean, we discussed him on the last episode. I don't think he is going to be this top five, top six running back, you know, a world beater this year, but he will be super involved, and I think he's back to health. Only 25 years old, I'd be fine with him as my RB1 in that situation.
All right, another voicemail.
Hey, ballers, this is Nick from Denver, Colorado. Unlimited. My question is it a good or a bad strategy to take a stud wide receiver and a stud running back from the same team? So, for instance, JT and Kitty City. Thanks for everything you do. Appreciate it.
Bye. All right, stacking a running back with a wide receiver.
I am not actively trying to avoid or pursue this. I am careful about it if I don't think I have a top eight offense in the NFL.
Right.
Because you are going, you know, this team can score one time. You know, one player can score per drive. But it has worked out on certain teams and certain offenses over the years. I don't know if I'm willing to put the Indianapolis offense on that pedestal right now. But those are two players that are going to be the focal point of the offense. So, you could do worse.
Yeah, in general, I avoid that. There are some, if I can get Justin Jefferson to Dalvin Cook, yeah, no problem. I like Michael Pittman, and I like, obviously, Jonathan Taylor quite a bit. So that one to me is fine. But in general, I try to avoid it just because it caps your upside. You get a little bit more consistent scoring. But we have been finding more and more that it really is the upside that will win your week, that will propel you to playoffs and win your championship.
And for me, like those two particular guys, like I don't like that, the draft cost of having to do that. Of your first overall pick is Jonathan Taylor, and then Pittman is like a back of the third, early fourth round pick. And like Andy's saying, I'm not sure that that's the offense I want to do that in. You know, like, if I end up with Austin Eckler and then Mike Williams in the fifth or so, that's more agreeable to the way that I approach my fantasy football drafts, though.
Okay. Yeah, I think that covers it. Instagram question from Paul. With Arizona's lack of running back depth, could Rondale Moore get used in the backfield this year? I doubt it, because I think they're going to make a concerted effort to utilize him in the passing game.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly think he will get a handful of carries. Handoffs for wide receivers don't really matter. Now, Debo is the exception, but Debo is the exception. Like, he was a running back and was unbelievable at it. You're not getting, you know, Robert Woods has done it before. Tyreek gets handoffs. I think Rondale
That's a big
gets,
difference between occasional use.
Right.
And, like, core use, which is what Debo was.
Exactly. And he won't be core use. All of these players in camp that, you know, Wandale Robinson's been getting some handoffs from the backfield in camp. These guys will get 8, 9, 10 carries out of the backfield over the course of the season, but that doesn't move the needle or shouldn't be a consideration for I've got to draft them, because they might get 4 extra yards this game with a manufactured touch. It's just not something to consider. Are they a good wide receiver? That's what I'm worried about.
And I doubt Cliff will give Rondale Moore a carry inside the five. Like, if that was happening, okay, then that's a substantial boost to someone's value.
The
like
old Chase exactly, Claypool.
The Chase Claypool, but I don't see that happening for Rondale.
What's ironic is a lot of his receptions probably count as runs.
Yeah.
Because they're behind the line of scrimmage. Here we go. Instagram question, a player I'd love to talk about. Feel like you ballers have not talked much about Elijah Moore. Give us the rundown. He is average draft position is the wide receiver 37. We have him higher than that, a wide receiver 30. Wow, I didn't see this. I'm the highest on Elijah Moore.
I don't hate it.
I did make an adjustment to him probably about 2 weeks ago, just going back and watching some film, thinking about how Garrett Wilson will begin to work into this offense. It's a tough one. You don't start from a default place of confidence in the passing game. That's the biggest problem with talking about the Jets, right? I mean, you're not coming with any sort of established baseline of production. And you don't draft a top 10 wide receiver and not use him. They always work out. They really almost always do. So Garrett Wilson will become involved at some point in a way that probably hurts Elijah Moore a little bit.
Elijah Moore is one of the very few players, just like the previous season, I left saying I wanted to remember how much I love CeeDee Lamb and T. Higgins. And that was Elijah Moore this last year. I wanted to remember how dominant he looked on the field, how good he is. He's full legit. And it's very, very, very similar to the T. Higgins situation because they go and they draft a top 10 wide receiver who might slot in ahead of him. But Elijah Moore's great. The big difference here is Joe Burrow to Zach Wilson. And he's really my fear for Elijah Moore. Elijah Moore, some of his best games, like
most
the rest
of his best games,
like the rest of the Jets, were without Zach Wilson behind center. So I do love the talent. I fear for the situation.
Yeah, I think it's going to be my job this year to kind of try to persuade you to look at Zach Wilson in a less black and white fashion.
That'll be his job.
Well, yeah, he's going to work with me.
team up.
We're going to work together.
I like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. I can't do it by myself. I'm going to do everything I can to get you there. But I think there's potential here in the offense. Elijah Moore is very good.
Yeah,
and they did have connections. Like, I know that the majority of the production wasn't centered on Zach Wilson, but he also, like, we don't know what he would have done in those games.
Exactly. Part of the narrative, which I'm helping to drive that, is that Elijah Moore was great without Zach Wilson, but then he got hurt. Like when the offense was starting to become the Elijah Moore show, that's when he got hurt, and that's when Zach Wilson came back. So perhaps he had come back and still would have dominated, targeted on 24% of his routes. That is an elite number for Elijah Moore. That's not going away. He is an incredible separator. Garrett Wilson not proven yet in the NFL. It sounds like Elijah Moore is absolutely tearing up camp. So I'm good with the draft pick of him in the eighth round. That's not a huge investment. So he's one of those players where I'm watching the ADP. If it gets like sixth round after the preseason, then I'll probably be out.
Yeah, my fear of Zach Wilson should really be thrown away because the talent of Elijah Moore in the eighth round, he's going right now next to Hunter Renfrow, Tyler Lockett, guys that are like, you know, they're good players, but they're not going to win you a fantasy football championship this year. Elijah Moore has that potential.
Yes, he does.
Swing for the fences and take a guy who's just could be a year two breakout star wide receiver.
Well, it's well said because look at last year. If you want to wonder whether the question marks around quarterbacks and offensive line play and all of the offensive problems matter, Elijah Moore was drafted and produced as a rookie when given the opportunity. Zach Wilson was gone, and he still did it. Mm-hmm. Like, the talent won. Mitchell in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, this is a very important question.
Mm.
We were tagged over a billion times yesterday about this, and we need to address it publicly, and that's what we're going to do because we hit things head on. Did you know that Colts tight end Jelani Woods is bigger than Mo Alley Cox? So what does that make him?
Jelani Forrest.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
okay.
That's low-hanging fruit. It's just right there because, you know, I would imagine a Forrest is much larger than the Woods.
The hard part here is we need to address the picture. Because there was a photograph, we got 80, we got 81. First off, Woods has the bonus helmet on that makes the helmet extremely large. And what they don't tell you is that Mo Alley Cox is like 30 feet back. Thank you.
See, I'm not.
So it's perspective. Yes, in the photo he looks smaller, but in reality, Mo Alley Cox still the largest man to exist on the earth.
We're still committed to that. I'm
committed to the truth, Andy.
I was willing to say this is Gigantor 2.0.
Maybe. I'm just throwing this out there. Maybe this is Mo Alley Cox's son, who grew so fast, and he's actually
6 years old.
He is halfway done growing.
All right, I'm in.
Okay. Yes. That's who Jelani Woods is.
By the way, they have... They have three tight ends on this roster, 6'6 or above. They have Michael Pittman at 6'4. They have a 6'3 Alec Pierce. You know, Matt Ryan's going to have a lot of tall players to throw the ball to.
He should just throw the ball up very high.
Yeah. Did you guys see the Matt Ryan camp video from yesterday?
I didn't watch through.
I did. And
yeah,
it was
about 5 minutes long, and it was great. It was fun to see.
Hard to dislike Matt Ryan. You can say whatever you want about whether, you know, where he stacks in and the lore of quarterbacks, but as far as like who just hates Matt Ryan? Just a really cool, nice guy.
Yeah, it was probably a different camp than they had last year. Let's put it that way. All right, Instagram question, Jason. I'm going to toss this one to you. Comes from Noah. Chase Edmonds or Kareem Hunt? These are two players that you've talked a lot about.
Great question. Definitely Chase Edmonds.
Yes.
I love Chase Edmonds. I think that he has the potential to be one of the better picks in fantasy football this year.
Agreed.
For where he's being picked, he doesn't cost much. He's behind. He's like after the running back dead zone. So when you grab all, you get a couple stud running backs, you get a bunch of wide receivers, and then in the eighth round, you have an explosive athlete who catches the ball on an offense that looks good, who right now through camp has been the running back one. Heck yeah, I'm in on Chase Edmonds for sure.
I am shocked that Chase Edmonds is not in the dead zone. Like, it's very bizarre that his ADP is so much further behind these other players. So yeah,
let's keep him there, people.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to be one of the bigger movers in the preseason.
Yeah, no. But keep Chase Edmonds' ADP low. It's fantastic.
All right, let's talk some best ball.
Best Ball Breakdown, presented by Underdog Fantasy.
Each week, leading up into the season, we've been giving tips, insights, observations for playing best ball on Underdog. Something that, look, I'm gonna be frank. I'd love to say we all do it the same amount. It's not true. Jason's done it way more.
Yeah.
Jason's joined over 400 million leagues.
That is accurate. Here's my tip of the week. If you're in a high stakes league.
Yeah. Oh no, what happened? Oh no.
Yeah. If you're high stakes league, if you're going to accidentally miss your pick.
Oh no.
Do not have a player who is going at the end of drafts queued. I star players that I want to aim for at the end of drafts.
Oh, no.
That's my normal process. This is literally the only missed pick I've had the entire offseason.
What round?
It was round like 14, okay. 13, okay, 14. So it was a little bit late, but it was.
And who was it?
It was Jerick McKinnon, who I currently have my previous draft. I drafted Pacheco above McKinnon, and then three rounds later, there was Pacheco still available to draft because I took McKinnon.
Whoopsies.
On accident. So just tip. Don't queue.
Make
super
your picks.
Late.
That's your tip.
Tip. Make your pick.
All right, Mike. What do you got for us?
I mean, that's a good transition here because we want to talk about the camp hype fueling ADP and just being careful with some of these players who are on that rocket ship up to the top of the ADP. Guys like Isaiah Pacheco from the Kansas City Chiefs, who is getting all the hype. He is now, he's going as the running back 59. He is skyrocketing. And like the thing to remember is, if you are in now on Pacheco at running back 59, in your tournaments, if you're in a high money tournament, you're going up against teams that were able to take him like 30 picks later. So you're really paying an overage in the ADP. Guys like Isaiah McKenzie, who's now going as the wide receiver to 72. We've seen him jump from pick 213 to 156. And the same can be said for Romeo Doubs here. And the reminder that we want to give is Marquez Callaway, preseason legend.
Oh, man.
For the New Orleans
Saints.
And
week one, right? Wasn't he a week one legend too?
Well, I'm just saying, like, he was – we didn't know who to draft from the New Orleans Saints.
Right.
And we were going to let preseason shake that out. And then in week three of the preseason, he went for five receptions, 104 yards, and two touchdowns. He jumped up 60 spots in ADP, became an incredibly popular pick in the ninth round.
And then in week one, he did – catch a ball for 14
That's right.
Yards.
He did not do anything.
But in week two, he caught two balls
for
8 yards total.
Yeah. So it's a cautionary tale. I'm not saying like if you have a belief that that Dobbs or Isaiah McKenzie are the next big thing, then like, then take them. But realize that now with that hype going off, you're where you got them at the ADP versus where people already have them and they were able to load up on like good players early, known players, it's risky business.
All right, that was Best Ball Breakdown presented by Underdog Fantasy. Start playing on Underdog today, where you can make all of your picks. They'll match your first deposit up to $100.
Dadgummit.
If you use the code BALLERS, just know you have to get McKinnon before Jason does. That is the code BALLERS.
Might be 10th round. Who knows when I will go to sleep.
But it is a lot of fun. A reminder, if you need an extra episode of the show, which I know you do, you can go to jointhefoot.com, jointhefoot.com, and join the community. We'll have a footcast this afternoon, answering more questions, talking Demolition Man, the kinds of things we do. That is it for today's show. Thank you for joining us. Take
See
care, Foot Clan.
Enjoy the football. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FFBallers.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.